bums a dime in your prime. Didn't you? People called, say beware, dawn. You found a fool. You thought they were all just kidding you. You used to laugh about.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome back to the American Awakening, the Friday broadcast. I am here live. It is Eric, the Freedom Streamer, broadcasting from upstate New York via Texas. And I'd like to thank everybody for joining us tonight on the Republic Broadcasting Network. This network knows where we stand. It's a republic. It's not a democracy. We're not calling ourselves Democracy Now or Democracy Anything. Democracy, the sheeple vote our stuff into their pockets. Thanks again for joining us on the Republic Broadcasting Networks. Please support the network. We count on your help to continue. And if you need to make a purchase on something, look into the sponsors of the RBN Network. Try to buy from them. Why go someplace else? You can support the network just by purchasing from the sponsors. That would be a fantastic thing for you all to do. If you appreciate what you hear, please show it by supporting the network. Thank you so much. We're going to try for Gary and Chris tonight, as usual. Hopefully we'll bring you an interesting broadcast. We've been working on the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. And boy, oh boy, if you want to read the playbook for the globalist pigs today, right down to your local police force and your local witch's court, stay tuned for more Protocols of the Elders of Zion. The only thing they were, I'm sorry, the learned, they like to call themselves, the arrogant fools like to call themselves the learned Elders of Zion. Apparently, they haven't learned morality. They haven't learned justice. They haven't learned righteousness. They're extremely deficient. But they like to call themselves the learned Elders of Zion. The only thing they're learned in is their wickedness and their evil. If you'd like to join the broadcast tonight, it's 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. I'd like to remind people, this show stands on activism. You're not going to get a lot of news here because most news is a distraction. You think the CIA and the Interpol and the Mossad and the Vatican, do you think they're going to let out like real news like through their corporate media? Almost everything the alternative media is covering is the mainstream media. I turned over to InfoWars and I heard the British guy pull out stories off the mainstream media. CNN said this and so and so that. I don't want to hear that. Goodbye, click off, boop, turn off, hit the off button. So what you're going to get is out of the new, even the alternative, very little, what would we call in the old days, investigative journalism goes on. Very little, extremely little, extremely rare. Most operations are pulling stuff out of the mainstream press, pulling out the Comey story, pulling out the Hillary story, pulling out the Obama story, Obama's the deep state, yeah, right, sure. Hillary's this and that. Yeah, no, neither of them, including Trump, can wipe their little stinky bottoms without permission from Henry Kissinger and his handlers in the Bank of England, the Church of England, the Church of Rome, the royal families, the Rothschilds, who we would call, so to speak, the learned elders of Zion, ay, 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 or the Illuminists, in their opinion, who descend from the learned elders of Zion because these learned, this goes back quite a ways. This playbook's been in action for a long time. Long time coming. Centuries, millennia most likely, thousands of years would be safe to say. Centuries in its modern form manifesting itself through the technocracy and through the modern witches' court, the modern judiciary, the Act of 1789, the modern constitution that has no teeth in it whatsoever, the Bill of Rights, which is a bill of suggestions. You think the idiots and the Illuminati are going to obey the Bill of Suggestions? There's no teeth in it whatsoever. Why were there no teeth in the Constitution? I just read George Washington's inaugural address, and I did not like what I heard. Let me see if I can kind of grab that before we get off into the protocol tonight. I don't know. This is open to debate, and I'll be gentle and friendly about it. I'm not going to come down your throat hard if you want to debate and somehow tell me that what he was saying. I mean, I think he thought it was good, but once again, good Mason, bad Mason. The only thing that the American Revolution was a bunch of Masons on the west side of the Atlantic Ocean doing battle against a bunch of Masons on the east side of the Atlantic. That's really all it was. George Washington was a Freemason. His best friend, George Clinton, nephew of the British Admiral George Clinton, was a Freemason. 12 of the 24-5 senators, that's 50% of the U.S. Senate in the early days, was Freemasons, including Oliver Ellsworth, that great Freemason who rammed the Judiciary Act of 1789 down our throat. I'm sure he thought he was a good Mason, doing the globalist agenda. And so, once again, good Mason, bad Mason. And I see that with Trump. I see a whole bunch of evidence for good Mason, bad Mason. And I'm not saying there's any good Masons. I'm saying this is what they think. They think that there's a good, that all the good Masons have defected and we're going to fix it and make everything right. I'm trying to find George Washington's prayer for the United States of America, the seventh annual message. I'll see if I can find this during the break. But if you want to chime in while we get Gary and Chris on the line, I think we're having trouble scoring Gary and Chris. I do want to thank Mike on the board because he's the one that lines all this up. None of this is scripted. None of this is planned. I don't have big, long talks with Gary. I don't talk to them at all during the day. I'm out doing other stuff, and Mike on the board calls them. So we'll see if we can get them in tonight. But George Washington's inaugural address, I think I have to back up here because I'm into his later speeches, and I think the one that really caught my eye that had some kind of a little, maybe more than even a little bit disturbing, references to the new or to the order of right, and it just, I'll try to find it. It's not coming up right now, but I'll get it up later. So I want to encourage people to go to courtroomwatch.com and download a handful of jury nullification flyers. I know I keep harping on this. If you haven't done it yet, though, shame on you. You're going to suffer when you have to go up in front of the witch, and there's nobody in your community who knows anything about jury nullification. And it's really easy to get the word out. Simple. Not guilty on everything that doesn't involve an immediate violent act by one person against another. Everything else, it's all these state statute violations, like poor Tom LaCavara. Tom LaCavara will hopefully be getting out soon. Tom was kidnapped on a bogus gun charge by the U.S. Marshals in New Jersey, flown across the country to Nevada and then Oregon. And he's sitting in, I guess he was recently moved. I think I heard he was moved to Sheridan. And I'm not sure if Sheridan's a facility in Oregon or if it's something closer to, I'm not familiar with that. So we'll see where Tom's been located. But, I mean, I wouldn't want to be in possession of Tom either. Whoever that Sheriff Byron Trapp in Lane County, Oregon, is a real piece of garbage. He was happy to do a favor for the marshals and unlawfully, against all constitutional protections and law, hang on to Tom LaCavara. Hang on to him. Do a courtesy hold, like you're holding a shirt over the weekend until so you can go get more money in your account and buy your favorite piece of clothing or something. Treating him like a piece of trash, kidnapping him, and then threatening him with all this prison time unless he takes a plea. What's he going to do? I'd rather see him take the plea, get out here, and continue with his work. He wants to do an official plea retraction. That's absolutely possible. He made it under duress. I don't expect anybody to endure constant imprisonment and torture. Do what you got to do to get out, and then we'll get him later, okay? We got long memories, a long time, and lots of stuff that we can come get him with. Let's just leave it at that. So I think I might have found my George Washington speech here. In his inaugural address to both houses of Congress on April 30th, 1789, George Washington proclaimed the following. Such being the impressions under which I have, in obedience to the public summons, repaired to the present station, it would be peculiarly improper to omit in this first official act my fervent supplications to that almighty being who rules over the universe, who presides in the councils of nations, and whose providential aids can supply every human defect. Hello? Hold on right there. Hit the brakes. Supplications to the, I'm not really sure I like how he refers to the creator, the almighty being who rules over the universe. Okay, maybe. Who presides in the councils of nations? I don't think so. Nowhere in the council of any nation for the past 3,000 or 4,000 years has there been anybody good. Are you kidding me? Presides in the council, the councils? That word, it really sketches me out. The councils of nations, of course not countries, and whose providential aids can supply every human defect? Wait a minute. God's providential aids are supplying every human defect? I just didn't, that was really kind of weird. Okay? So the almighty being who rules over the universe, who presides in the council of nations, I'll argue with you on that till I'm blue in the face. Show me a nation whose councils have had providential, godly people. Are you kidding me? They're nothing but a bunch of Freemasons and Rothschild front people. And whose providential aids can supply every human defect? Okay. That his benediction may consecrate to the liberties and happiness of the people of the United States a government instituted by themselves for these essential purposes and may enable every instrument employed in its administration to execute with success the functions allotted to his charge. Yikes. It sounds awful. I just don't like the sound of that. And may enable every instrument employed in its administration to execute with success. It sounded like they were not there to stay out of our face, stay out of our life, make a level playing field, and just manage disputes between the people. They had something planned here, something to move forward with, and I do believe we're going to be reading out of it in the next few minutes. Protocols of Zion. In tendering this homage to the great author of every public and private good, first of all, whenever I hear that word, the great author, being attributed as the name of God, I don't see anywhere in the Word of God or in anything. And the people who use that word are almost always Freemasons who believe in a different God than we do, of every public and private good. I assure myself that it expresses your sentiments not less than my own, nor those of my fellow citizens at large less than either. Yikes, there's the word citizen. We're not a citizen. A citizen's a subject. Let's stop right there and bounce over to our Roman history, all right? Because we're doing it with the brain on this show. You want to be entertained and have Trump pimping. There's a lot of Trump pimps. They're going to be pimping him almost everywhere else you go. I'm telling you what a great deal it is. You think Bundys are doing great tonight sitting in the hole? You think Tom LaCavara is doing great tonight, sitting in the hole, being forced to take a plea, or is going to stay in jail, you know, for decades? Ancient Rome and modern United States, 212 A.D. That's the year A.D. 212. All free men of the empire became citizens. Oh joy! How do you go from? Well, very easy. How do you go from being a free man to a citizen? You change from being free to being a subject. Real simple. So we got here George Washington using the word citizen. Now, maybe back then it meant something different. I mean, I'm trying to be charitable here, and I don't see it. I don't like what he said at all. Let me go back to this here. My wind blew my page over a couple of shots here. The great author. Yeah, I don't know. It just makes me wonder. So anybody wants to call in and you know, if I'm off base, come on in and tell me. No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand. I'm stopping right there for a few minutes. The invisible hand? The hidden hand? Have you seen everyone who's anyone doing it, from Joseph Stalin to Napoleon Bonaparte to John Harlan of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court? Name the whole litany of globalist pigs, stuffing their hand inside their shirt up to their wrist specifically, and I mean doing it so the camera can obviously see it. They're not keeping their hands warm or hiding it because it's deformed a little bit like Bob Dole maybe. No. Stuffing. You go look at the official portrait of John Harlan, H-A-R-L-A-N, and you will see him doing the hidden hand, stuffing his hand up to the wrist inside his witch's robe, and he was the guy who ruled on most of the cases post-14th Amendment, which put us all under citizenship and out of freedom. Mr. Harlan, the Freemason, doing the hidden hand, which is the sign of the Jesuits, the quiet intelligence agency that manages over all the others and executes most of the assassinations, the big ones. So let me just repeat that. No people can be bound or acknowledged to endure the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. Think about that. I'm not sure where he's coming from on that. For it, against it, in your face. Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency, and in the important revolution just accomplished, in the system of their united government, the tranquil deliberations and voluntary consent of so many distinct communities from which the event has resulted cannot be compared with the means by which most governments have been established without some return to pious gratitude along with a humble anticipation of the future blessings which the past seemed to presage. So, yeah, some of that stuff was a little bit, I'm not sure where he was coming from and really, truly, whose side he was on, especially after knowing that his best friend, George Clinton, who became the vice president under James Madison and the first governor of New York State, was given his start by the British admiral with the same name who fought against us in the Revolutionary War. I don't believe for a minute the guy defected. It was a seamless transition from Mason to Mason. If we have Gary or Chris yet, you guys chime in. Do we have either one yet, or am I flying solo here on the RBN network?
This is Gary Dunn.
Oh, wonderful. Gary, thank you for joining us, sir. Gary, I appreciate you being here. I want our listeners to know you don't get paid for this. I don't get paid for this. This whole thing is done out of love of freedom, and we appreciate you joining us at such a late hour on the East Coast. I know it's way past your bedtime, mine as well, but we're getting her done. Give us some commentary that you might have had on anything that you see or heard, and then take us into a prayer, and take your time about it.
Yeah. Who are you speaking about? Because we come on a little bit late, or I did. Were you speaking about George Washington?
Yeah, his inaugural address had some really shady references in it, to the hidden hand and some of the stuff just made me squirm a little bit. I'm just not sure where he's coming down. And so
my understanding, he was a British officer all the time during the Revolution. That was my understanding of him.
Oh boy, yeah.
You see, we did not start out on a very good note. You know, history is written by the people who stay in charge, and I'm not quite so sure that the Jefferson and him and some of the other ones were what they say they are. I can't prove it, so therefore I'm not going to go into it any further.
Right.
The results are, if you start out with good leaders, can you maintain good leaders? Not always, but it's a lot easier when you start out with somewhat of a corrupt system to grow the corruption. And it seems like, if you plant a certain amount of wheat out in the field by the bushels, you'll get a certain amount of return. And if you fertilize it, you'll get a little better return. So it seems to me that there's some validity in what you were saying, and I hear the music coming. So they've grown the corruption by
Gary.
Yep.
Yeah, hold that thought just for a second till after the break. I want to thank you for joining us. I want to thank everyone for listening tonight. Please support the RBN Network. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer on the American Awakening, sitting in for Mike Herzog temporarily. We hope you enjoy the broadcast. Stay with us till after the break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their